right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool, and I think you have a mystery guest there in the studio.
Absolutely. Let me give a little applause here. So today, joining us, my brother-in-law, Jason Krimzer, comes on, and Jason's doing a little, some case study research on the way we do our podcast. So he's kind of listening, but I've opened up his mic, so he's going to give some input today because we've got a fun topic. We're going to be talking about advertising, specifically Super Bowl ads.
Super Bowl. Yeah, I heard that was a big deal.
I just watch for the commercials, man. There's some red team in red won the game, I think.
Yeah, I think they said this like the first time in a long time that both teams had the same colors.
Like it wasn't. Yeah, there wasn't a contrasting.
You'd think that'd be more common, but I guess it's not.
Yep.
So there's a lot of red and blue and those kind of colors in the NFL. So interesting. And then of course there's if you were on the Facebooks and the Twitters and the YouTubes and the anything else with comments, the halftime show got quite the. Both sides of the spectrum. People who didn't care, but had to comment that they didn't care. Like, you know, it went all over the place with that one for sure.
Yep.
So what did you think of the halftime show? Or are you allowed to answer?
I actually didn't see much of it. We were kind of watching the game with family. We were kind of enjoying it. And then I took the kids, my boys at halftime, we left. So I missed out on some of that. Probably, I don't know, it may have been a good thing for them. But I heard enough of the aftermath. It definitely generated some controversy.
So, yeah, talking about the Super Bowl today, Super Bowl ads, favorites, why they were favorites, ones that weren't very good.
What do you think? I mean, this year kind of, I don't know.
Kind of blah.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And even the week after, there wasn't much talk. I think the halftime show just overshadowed the ad talk. But it definitely felt like there was less talk about the ads than ever before. So
just nothing that really stood out, although there were a few and we'll talk about some of those.
Yeah.
But
I definitely had two favorites that I really liked what they did, and I'll talk about those. And then the rest just kind of fell into, you know, some were kind of clever, cool, entertaining, whatever, but not necessarily persuasive. So I got a question. Remind me after we introduce our beer guests, our guest beers. It's kind of the key question for all the ads. So I'll come back to that. First, I'll go with my beer first. So I'm actually got one that I've had before because I'm still cleaning out the fridge. So check this out, right? You know, we talked about drinking up the beers during the Super Bowl. Well, it ends up I didn't have any beer during the Super Bowl. Because I ended up riding the Peloton like an hour before. I said, what if I rode 54 miles during Super Bowl 54 on the Peloton? So I rolled the Peloton into the living room where the TV was.
Yeah.
And there's a program on there where you can just ride and it'll keep track of your miles, but there's no instructor or video or music or anything.
Right.
And, so I did it. Rode 54 miles during the Super Bowl. It was 2 hours and 30 minutes or something like that. Something like that, yeah.
So. Wonder what the other competitors' times were.
I don't know.
You were just going for the... So 54 during... And that took you roughly three... What was that? What was the...
Somewhere around... I don't remember the exact number, but somewhere around 3 hours. 2.5, 3 hours. Which... 19, about 18 miles an hour. So yeah, about 3 hours. Cause I was going at a moderate pace. Cause I knew I had to go for 3 hours. Trying to see if I took a picture.
Were you drinking anything? I mean, outside of water during this time?
I was having some snacks and I was having some Gatorade and stuff like that. But yeah, I was still eating cause I was kind of in that lower endurance, almost like rucking breath.
Yeah.
So I could still talk and, you know, eat and that kind of stuff. So Yeah, it was just, I was like, well, I'm going to sit on my butt anyway. Might as well just pedal while I'm doing it.
Moving your feet. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but anyway,
that's
so,
cool, man.
So I've still got some leftover beers that I've not gone through. On the next episode, I got a brand new one that looks really fun. But this one, I went back to a coffee porter, Last Stand Brewing here in Texas.
Oh, yes.
So this is, love their branding. It's a smooth and velvety coffee porter. It was pretty good. So nice, dark, smooth and velvet. It's only, it's weird though, because usually these coffee porters are a little stronger and this one's only like 6.3%. So.
Ah. All right. So what I'm going to do, and I already know, I've got a vague idea Jason has brought in an IPA. I have allowed an IPA into this domicile.
Into the inner sanctum.
Space dust.
All right, Jay, I'm going to ask him to introduce his very light-looking IPA.
Now, this is a Space Dust Afterglow IPA.
Ooh, Space Dust.
Yeah, it's a little higher on the hoppy profile, but lower on the...
IBUs, like 60 or something.
But already, I think I've lost y'all's interest, so that's my beard.
I'm sure there's somebody listening that is an IPA fan.
Oh, well, that's of course.
All right, so
that's all you got? Have you had it before, or is this your first time?
Yeah, it's one of my go-tos. I had envisioned picking up something more out of the ordinary on the way here, but I miscalculated traffic.
So. Yeah, because space dust is so common. So.
Well, it's more common than you might think.
Yeah, it's true. At least outside of our atmosphere, anyway.
There you go.
All right,
so Jonathan, what you got?
So to offset his hoppiness, I've got a fantastic Founders returning guest.
Oh, yeah.
And today is the Backwoods. Looks like Gandalf a little bit when you first look at it, doesn't it? But it's a Backwoods Bastard.
Yes, Founders, I remember that one.
And Bourbon Barrel. This buddy is, this bad boy is 11%
there you
ABV.
There you go.
I do feel a little demasculated now.
Hey, there's one in the fridge with your name on it there, Jay.
That's fantastic.
This is, I saw this, you know, when I first saw this over at, I picked this up at, what's our, Total
that
Wine.
Place.
Yeah, that place. Total Wine and Total
place
Wine
with the
and
four
Spirits.
Walls and the shelves. Yeah, yeah, that place.
I promise I haven't had one yet. But no, over at Total Wine and More, when I first looked at this, I almost thought when I saw it on the shelf, because it's like a four pack, and I thought
for like $32.
Exactly, exactly.
Give or take.
And I thought it said Backwards Bastard. I was like, okay, cool.
And it makes you drunk just looking at it.
But seriously,
it is.
I was like, how appropriate, man. I'll pick that up. But but man, if it's Founders, you can't go wrong there. So
yeah. Founders, Bourbon Barrel Ale. I mean, like, yeah, just good stuff. So I've heard it's been a little wet there in Knoxville as well. Man.
Yeah. It's been, well, actually today we got snow flurries. So it's
wow.
Tomorrow I think it's supposed to be 82.
There. Sounds about right.
Yeah. That was 80 earlier this week. We got snow flurries not the night before last, and then today it's 70 again.
Good grief.
So, oh, my goodness.
We love it. One day of winter. We're done.
You're done.
All right. Well, let's talk Super Bowl ads, commercials, whatever they're called these days.
I got to mention first, and I forgot to do it, but I added our new sound effect for our beer intro.
Very nice. Sounds like it's off, like,
yeah, it sounds like it's like way in the background. Like it's got the echoed effect.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, so here's my big question.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at your favorite commercial right now, whichever one you put at the top, did you buy?
I already bought.
That product or service?
Mm-hmm.
You have already, like since then, or you were already a customer?
I am already a customer of this product. Okay. The one that's my favorite.
Huh.
And didn't have anything to do with that. I just think it was the best.
Yeah, mine, I was a customer already of probably one of these, two every once in a while, three total. And then there was one local commercial, which I'll talk about in a minute, that I actually thought was a national commercial when it started. It was so well done mm-hmm. as far as production. You know, a lot of times those local slots are really not well done.
Yep.
But this is not, and it's the one I sent you.
Yeah.
Really well done. Felt like a national commercial and even had a call to action and everything. And
Well, I was going to say it was probably the most, in terms of direct response, probably the best of any that we're even going to talk about, because most of these didn't have while some of them were well done, not a real call to action.
Yeah. I saw one that had a call to action, but it wasn't for the actual product, mm-hmm. but it did have a call to action in the ad. So we'll talk about that. I thought there was one that had really good psychology in the ad, and their whole campaign right now has some really sneaky psychology in it
yep.
that I think would be good to talk about. But I'm curious, what's your number one? Are we going to start at the top, or are we just going to, do you want to analyze some, which way we want to go with this?
All right. So I'm going to actually, I think people can hear this and I'm going to play it. So I'm going to see, I'm going to start playing it and see if you heard this one. Let's see. Here we go.
Okay, campers, rise and shine. It's Groundhog Day. And don't forget your booties because it's cold out there today.
Phil?
I can't hear.
Hey,
oh, you can't?
No, not you.
Okay, so maybe I'll have to insert that one. It is the Groundhog Day Jeep commercial.
I was wondering if that would be, so that's the product you already own, right?
Yep.
Yep, same here.
So Bill, was that at the top of your list?
It was not the top of my list, actually.
Okay.
I thought it was good, and I thought it was very entertaining.
It's clever. Yeah, it does sell, but it's
nostalgic.
Yep.
You know, it was selling to people who already love Jeep, pretty mm-hmm. much. Like, there was nothing there that was going to convince me. And I thought it was really subtle. Like, I didn't catch it during the game that he got more and more excited each day when he got out of bed. And, like, he jumped out of bed. Like, I missed that.
Yeah, because every day was like, it was getting, like, he couldn't wait to get in the Jeep. You know,
right, which was like the opposite of the movie, right?
Right.
Every day
right.
was every harder day was, to get up.
Exactly.
And then this, with the Jeep in the picture now, every day gets better.
Yep.
And I think the tagline at the end was, every day is different with the Jeep or something like that.
Yep.
So
what was amazing to me is, like, some of these the people, you could tell Bill, you know, Bill Murray, he's a little older, but some of the other characters, like the guy that plays Ned,
Do you think they just took that straight from the original footage and just spliced everything in?
I don't know, man, because he didn't look like he had aged that much.
Yeah. You know?
So that would be weird.
They could have mixed refilming with
the original
footage as well.
Because even the guy where he took the groundhog, when he took the ground, the guy that's in charge of Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, a little short guy.
Yeah, he that guy looked about the same too, so...
Yeah, I think there's some CGI going on there and some good, you know, cross-editing and mm-hmm. editing the old with the new, and then probably laying a filter across the top to keep it all looking the same.
Well, it's, you know, they can make people look younger today. I mean, they did it in the Irishman that was out? That came out recently on Netflix. They were able to make all of the actors in that look quite a bit younger.
I don't know if you've seen it going around. This is a total tangent for our listeners, but have you seen the pictures going around of, like, celebrities from 40 years ago, 30 years ago, and their ages, and mm-hmm. then current celebrities at the same age, and the difference, mm-hmm. like how much older the past people looked at the same age? Like, there's a picture of, so Wilford Brimley, right? You know him.
Yep.
Diabetes. in Cocoon. When he filmed Cocoon in that movie, he was 49 years old. He was our age.
Wow. Yeah. And he was
this whole.
Holy.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was playing a retiree.
Yep.
You know, so there's this whole thread around Twitter, and now it's spread out to, you know, all these other places of, like, are people getting younger? Are people staying younger?
Right.
Like, Archie Bunker was, I think, 49 during the series.
Yep. And look at him, and he looks like he's probably in his 60s.
Well, he was playing a retiree for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, that whole list, and then people start posting, like, their parents' pictures and them at the same age. And because I was like, well, maybe it's just celebrities. They're taking better care of themselves. But mm-hmm. anyway, it's pretty speaking of like looking younger and all that, it's amazing.
Well, that's weird because I'm looking. Okay, so I just looked up Cocoon, 1985.
Yeah.
And so we were, the reason you mentioned Wilford Brimley, he was on, did you ever see The Thing back from 19, I think it came out in 1980. It had Kurt Russell.
I have not watched it since probably, but yeah, I remember seeing it.
But he's in that, you know, and that's 1980. Cocoon was 85. So in 80, he looks like he's in his 50s in that movie. You know? Yeah. So
it's crazy.
That's wow.
So the moral of that story and that tangent is drink more beer because it keeps you young. That's what I'm going with. Because we look better than he does.
Absolutely.
He did at that age. So
yeah. Man, that is crazy.
I had to bring this up since you mentioned this, Sean. If you've seen photos of Abraham Lincoln after his presidency, but not outside of the arena of still pretty young, and I always assumed he was in his late 70s when he died. Like, and he was in his 40s. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, I kind of expect it from anybody living in the 1850s.
Sure.
Life was hard then.
Yeah.
Like, I'd expect it, but
I think life's gotten pretty easier in the last 100 years as well, though.
Yeah. Well, even the last 30, I think it's easier.
Yeah. I look at some of the old photos of even like some of my family members back, like great grandparents.
Yeah.
I mean, age did not do them well. I mean, it was just a different time. Yeah.
Life was harder. Sure. All right. So there's a tangent for you, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So we got we talked about
like the real life sitting in the pub. I mean, it's just, there's no telling where it goes.
That's right. That's right. So we talked to Jeep, which had no, you know, outside of being clever, that's about it. I mean, no call to action or anything like that. If they were using nostalgia, I think that worked. And we've talked about nostalgia in marketing and advertising before, and that always works because people are like, oh yeah, I love that ad because it takes you back to one of your favorite movies of all times, which is Groundhog Day.
And my guess is their demographic is our age.
Sure.
And you know, that's who saw that movie when it first came out and all that. So absolutely. Yeah. They get a win for nostalgia and entertainment for sure.
And who doesn't like Bill Murray? I mean, so everywhere he goes.
Yeah. So here's one I want to throw out. This is not a favorite. This is just, so the Hyundai Boston accent ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, those were the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah,
like those were awful. Bad.
Yeah.
And I was telling Tamara as we were watching, cause you know, a couple of them ran before the Super Bowl and they were already running.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. I think the Super Bowl ads are not as effective or is not as talked about because they pre-release them now. And a lot of them even start running before the Super Bowl. So you lose some of the surprise element that you used to have. But yeah, these Hyundai ads where it's Big Poppy and then there's three actors, you got Captain America in there, Ben Affleck's in there.
Yep.
I actually think those ads would have been better with just everyday people. Mm-hmm. Like Big Poppy would be a good finish in there.
Sure.
But I think having the other three more recognizable actors and you know that's not their accent actually hurts the ad.
Sure.
It takes the cleverness out of it and makes it just stupid.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Yeah.
Jason, what do you got over there on the commentary side?
Did you see that one?
I was unaware until you mentioned it that about pre-releasing commercials, but I knew sometimes they would kind of run themes and stuff beforehand, but I had read about that commercial coming up and how I assumed it was going to be was these actors had natural Boston accents. And they were going to, you know, speak normally. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be great. And then when I saw it, I was like, this is
terrible.
It's just awful. Like, I don't even think I finished the commercial. So,
yeah. So that was, to me, that was a big bust. And what's crazy, like, there was some good technology that Hyundai could have featured and done, but it got lost in the over the topness of the ad. Yeah. For sure. It felt more like a Saturday Night Live skit than a decent commercial.
I remember their ad from last year. It was I think it was it was Jason Bateman.
Yeah, that one's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and that one's actually, that was pretty good. Yeah, this one was not so much. Do you know what the going rate now is for a minute?
It was a little over five.
I did Did my research. I do have that number. All right. Would y'all care to make a guess? So Jason's got over five.
I would say six, between 6 and 7.
All right. So the official answer is 5.6 million for 30 seconds. And that's up from 5.2 million last year. Several of these commercials were minute long commercials. So 11.2 million.
Right. Not to mention, what are you paying some of these actors? I mean.
Oh, yeah. That's not production at all. That's just
the airtime.
Yeah. Production's probably another, who knows?
So here's the thing, to counter that, what you got to say in this day and age with social media is that people are banking on the fact that, that it's not just going to run. I mean, you're not just paying for that ad time. You're paying for people to talk about that throughout the upcoming week. Right. And they're going to be talking about it and people are going to be looking at it. So a lot of these people aren't even going to see it during the game. They'll be walking back and forth.
I've got the YouTube up. And the Jeep ad from Jeep's YouTube channel has 1.2 million views. Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty good return there as far as eyeballs.
It's the
even
after.
Even my local commercial has 192,000 views.
Sure.
And then there's a couple compilations that are doing, kind of like what we're doing. There's one guy just literally strung his top 10 together and he's got 1.45 million views with no commentary. It's just literally, he's got like 450,000 subscribers and, and there's, there's multiple channels like that that are getting these different views. So I mean, they're getting talked about, but sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's, of course, we talked about Trump last week. Like if you control the narrative, either way, that's, you're doing some implanting your brain in people's brain.
Absolutely.
So there is something to be said for it. But so I'll tell you one of my favorites that I thought was I thought was pretty fun was the Little Caesars ad, Better Than Sliced Bread. that was clever and fun. Mm-hmm. Made a good strong point. It's a brand that we're familiar with, but they have a new twist on their brand, which is that they now deliver, So I thought that was a good way to kind of really come out and make a statement. Mm-hmm. And I think that one will generate some business. I mean, obviously it's not direct response. So you don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think that's one you would be able to see in the numbers weekly, quarterly, whether or not that one worked.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Certainly as a campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was actually the third on my list, the Little Caesars. So,
okay. So we heard your number one and two. You're one and three. So what was your number two? And then I'll reveal my one and two.
Okay. So, I got, there's not a huge selection, but I'll go with the Doritos with Sam Elliott.
Okay.
What did you think about that one?
I like Sam just because I love the dude's voice and just, if you didn't watch the whole thing, you missed the punchline at the end, which makes the whole commercial.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you miss that, like without that last 3 seconds, the ad is just another ad. But with that, it's good.
Yeah. It started out really good. To me, it kind of...
It was a little too long. They could have done the same thing in a shorter spot.
Yep.
Yeah, they let it go a little bit long. But that was a good use of like trying to cross, Lil Nas, he's super popular, the younger millennial and the younger generations.
Tie those two together. Exactly.
Yeah. And then Sam's on the other end for our generation and probably even our parents' generation. Mm-hmm. So they did a good job of casting. And kind of getting that in there. And of course, everybody loves Doritos. So,
right. Exactly.
That's a win no matter what. And I saw several people on the YouTube, compilation that I was watching that he did not put that one in there. And a lot of comments were like, why didn't you put Doritos in there? So apparently a lot of other people liked it.
Okay. So, how about weirdest ad?
Weirdest.
Do you got any thoughts?
Gotta be the avocado.
Let's see. I may have missed that one. The avocado.
It's like the Avocado Shopping Network. It was like an HSN ad or segment for avocado, like avocado baby carriers, like baby avocado carriers and like helmets for your avocado. And was it was just
playing off the obsession, the current obsession with people eating avocados, you think?
It's the Avocados from Mexico, group that was doing it, but it was literally set like a Home Shopping Network, segment. And they were selling all these things to like use with your avocado, but nothing you would actually use. Like these are all like weird to me, over the top, just stupid. And then I guess their hook kind of Molly Ringwald was in it.
Oh, wow.
And like, but nobody knew it was her until the end. When they like said,
there's a name you don't hear much anymore.
Yeah. Right. And then they're like, and if you buy now, you get Molly. And then everybody's like, oh, red hair, older lady. She must be Molly Ringwald. Like you just didn't even realize it while you're watching.
Oh, okay. I've just pulled it up here. Okay. I see it now. Avocados from Mexico, from the Mexico Shopping Network, Avo Network.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So ASN, I think Avocado Shopping Network. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just really bad, I thought. So, but you obviously had one in mind. So what was yours?
The Mountain Dew. That was weird with, is it Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad?
So they were doing something with like the remake of The Shining.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was exactly. They were correlating that it was just as good as the original, but like, if you didn't see that movie, like that's been a while, hasn't it, since that released?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've seen parts of The Shining. I don't think I've ever seen that movie from start to finish.
But they're original or this off the popularity of they're doing not a remake. It's not a prequel. I don't know, but something in that universe soon.
Yep.
So maybe they were trying to.
The one scene where he breaks through like the door, actually, he almost looks like that scene. Yeah. Looks like Jack Nicholas. Is it Jack Nicholas? Was he?
Yeah. Nicholson.
Nicholson. I get that mixed up.
Yeah.
All horror movies are tough.
Yeah. But at the end where he's like,
you can't handle the putter. Crossover week.
But the scene where he's like playing the two twins, that was weird, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that like Stephen King hated that version, I think, of Shining, and he sold the rights to it.
Yeah.
So he bought back the rights and he's behind the production of the new one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I don't think that was like, I don't think that whole thing is well known and mainstream enough to use that as the basis of your commercial.
Right.
Because it's just not pop culture yet, like Lil Nas with Doritos and Sam Elliott, like everybody this year knows who those two people are.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Absolutely.
That song is stuck in everybody's head. I agree. That one was a little bit weird. I thought the Aquaman Rocket Mortgage was also a little weird.
That was Jason's favorite.
Yeah. I was going to say,
Well, but it was effective. A
little unique because I was making food and stuff coming in and out, but kind of touching on about everything y'all have said, A, it was my favorite, but B, it was also, to me, the weirdest. But the other thing is, coming in and out, I a lot of times I didn't even really notice what the product was or anything like that or what their catch was or sales pitch, but the Momoa one to me was just brilliant in the sense that you have this actor who's extremely popular. So at the rate of, 5+ mil every 30 seconds, it helps be recognizable. Commercials are mostly visual. He's known for his body, his muscles, all that. He's a good actor as well, but one of the biggest things to catch people's attention is comedy. And one of the best themes of that is making fun of yourself. So they put all those things together. I don't know if he's really making fun of himself, but playing off, his physique and everything. And he just slowly removed it all to the point where he was this thin, old, bald guy. And I just, I was like, I didn't have time to see the end because I was busy, but I just thought it was very attention catching and hilarious. I mean, and gross at the same time, but fueled the humor, I guess. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely fit what they were saying.
There you go.
Like, it was a good, like, over-the-top visualization of what they were saying, which is Rocket Mortgage is unique, you know, lets you be yourself, I think is their phrase.
There you go.
And so he was able to, like, take off his 6-inch lift shoes and then his arms and then his hair and, like, and then play the little, and be himself and not have to worry about anything. So
yeah.
I definitely agree. It was a little weird, but it was at the same time, it was effectively weird, whereas the other one wasn't. Some of the other weird ones weren't. I thought there was one that kind of did a good job of making it bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's actually two ads that kind of went with the mission type idea. Mm-hmm. And one was WeatherTech, and their dog that was in last year's Super Bowl ad got cancer this year.
Right.
And he went through cancer treatment. So their call to action was support,
right?
Like cancer research for dogs or something. They had a call to action where you could donate. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty good move to use one of last year's ads and then give back to something bigger than just their own brand. So I kind of like that one. And it actually had a call to action, which was, you know, not many things do.
Right.
And it kind of tugged on the heartstrings a bit since we don't have Budweiser horses and puppies anymore.
Yeah.
You know, those have gone away. But, and then the other one I thought had a really good kind of, we want this to be about more than our product, mm-hmm. was the Michelob Ultra Pure Gold.
I was just thinking about that one. Yep.
The one that if for every 6-pack you reclaim six feet of farmland, square feet of farmland.
All right.
So for every,
I was thinking of the Jimmy Fallon, but no, I like,
yeah, that was regular Michelob Ultra.
Right.
This was the Michelob Pure Gold,
the organic that's right.
version, which I almost bought just for the show. And I was like, nah, I can't do it. No. Their thing is you buy a 6-pack. We will support converting 6 square feet of farmland to organic farmland. Mm-hmm. So if you want to buy that beer and you want to drink organic beer, to me, that's a really good hook because people that care about that care about that. So to me, it was a good job of making it about more than just their product. Mm-hmm. It was about helping farms and more farms convert to organic.
Right. I think other one, the one that Jimmy Fallon was in, the Michelob Ultra, I think was more of an ad for Jimmy Fallon.
Exactly. Yeah. It was
who needs higher ratings on NBC. and the Super Bowl was actually on
Fox.
It was on Fox. So he's basically getting some free advertising on Fox for his late night show.
Yeah, probably got paid for it.
Exactly.
That's smart. That's a gangster move right there.
You
that's,
go.
That's good stuff.
With John Cena.
So my favorite. My favorite from just like where they did a really good job of kind of getting me to nod my head yes, mm-hmm. and kind of really do what we've talked about, like pain, you know, copywriting formulas, like pain, agitate, solution type stuff.
Right.
There was one ad that I thought did a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. And that was the Dashlane password ad. It was like the first or second ad, I think, in the whole thing. The guy was trying to get across the river and it was probably the River Styx, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And the guy in the back was the,
oh yes,
Death. Yep. And he asked him for his password and he didn't know it. And he asked for the like first pet, didn't even misspelled it or something. Right. Then his teacher's name, like he couldn't get any of them. Mm-hmm. So he ends up not going through, but you could just like, I could feel everybody's been there, right? Where you can't remember the password or you think you remember it, but you're one. Did I use a capital B when I put in that name or did I not? Like, so it really tapped into that experience that everybody has.
Yeah. Made a joke out of a pretty serious problem.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, went to Dashlane, which I did. I use LastPass, so I didn't go look at what Dashlane does exactly, but I thought that was a good, a good ad that actually used some very persuasive principles of here's the problem, agitate the pain, let them know that you've been there, and then here's the solution. So I thought it did a good job for that reason.
Did you see the, was it the one that kind of mimicked Fargo? What is it, with Winona Ryder?
Oh yeah, I did not get that at all.
That was an odd one. Did you see that?
I didn't even write that down because I was like, I can't even talk about it because I don't know what to say.
So they're like, basically, yeah, it's advertising a website software that I don't even know.
It's her name, right? It's Winona is actually the website software name.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which makes it even weirder.
Right. So they spent their whole advertising budget probably for the whole entire year.
I'm sure they've got plenty of capital, venture capital. And like, I can't even I have a hard time even spelling Winona. Is there two N's? Is there not?
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
Yep.
So it's actually, it says, welcome to Winona. It's actually it's Squarespace.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of their products, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, we'll get
so why not just say Squarespace,
right?
You know, I guess because she has her website hosted there is kind of the connection they were going for now that I'm at the site. But it's like, that's a lot for me to process in the 30 second spot.
Right.
You know, so it kind of went right over my head and I was like, what? I'm going to go back to peddling now. My favorite was a local ad, and I've talked about it before on the show, but our local grocery store here in Texas, HEB, which it's, you know, people love this, like not many people love their grocery stores other than maybe Trader Joe's people. But like when people move away from Texas, like they're writing into HEB, like, please come to Ohio. And they're like, no, we're staying in Texas. Literally, I saw that post the other day on Facebook or something. Like, they're like, no, we're not coming. Especially not Ohio.
Yeah, but, no doubt.
But yeah, it was a local HEB ad, but they used a big name celebrity, Eva Longoria. It was really well produced. And it was like a barbecue at a big game. But then all through the thing, she's talking about how you can use the app to get around the store and get discounts, asked you to download the app. And then there was a drawing that if you download the app, you just log on and, you know, name the products in this, find five products that are in this commercial or something like that. And there's a contest on the app where you just have to name five of the products that were like in the commercial.
Right.
Cause HEB has like over 4,000 of their own private label stuff. So everything in the commercial, I think, was private label.
Yeah.
And all their stuff's really good too. So here's another commercial for them. But it was like, it just really well done production value, big name star. So it didn't feel like a local commercial.
Yeah.
And it had a call to action. And actually like a call to action where they could actually stay in touch with you. Cause if you download the app, now they can push notifications to you, you know, and get their money's worth for that spot. I don't know how much a local spot cost. I don't know if it's the same or how that works, but so that was actually my favorite of all the ads.
Cause that's done right. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you got people downloading your app, you can track that. And you know, it's one of the simplest ways you can use. To me, it's mind blowing that here we are with these huge advertising budgets and very few of these advertisers, these big brands are using any kind of direct response, whether it be an app, whether it be go to this particular part of our website and get this. I mean, I'm just blown away.
I mean, they're not even used like just a clever URL or anything for the most part.
Right.
You know, it's to get a discount or to get to learn more, or to see the rest of the, even GoDaddy back in, you know, was that 10 years ago? They were like, see the rest of this commercial at GoDaddy.com.
And what did people do? They went straight to GoDaddy because it had, what were some of the, I know they had, what was the, Danica Patrick? Was that?
Yeah.
She was the one at the time. So people would actually you know, in a heartbeat, they would go to daddy.com.
Well, and the thing is, today, even more so, if you can just get somebody to land on your site and you've got a pixel on there, now you could retarget them for pennies after you spent, you know, almost $6 million.
Right.
But now you can retarget them for a year, two years or whatever the, you know, the pixel lasts, depending on how often they come back and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So yeah, huge missed opportunities by, you know, some of the biggest brands and biggest ad agencies in the world. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So I've got one more that I want to talk about, and then we'll hear from Jason and see if he has anything. But well, before I'll throw it to you, Jason, before I kind of talk about the one thing that I think has the best psychology going right now across their whole campaign. But anything else you wanted to add to the Super Bowl ad conversation?
No.
What is your favorite Super Bowl ad of all time? Does one come to mind? I mean, this year, any?
One doesn't in particular, but I can definitely say that overall, I remember the Budweiser or Bud Light commercials being typically the champion, and in recent years, they've definitely swung for the fence, but not hit so much. But I do remember the one up there in my top of all time in the last 10 years, but it was like late at night and they're driving down a road and this one guy keeps like picking up people that are more and more shady, but it's because they have Bud Light, you know? And so the weirdest,
which is ironic,
basically, you know, serial killers in his car, and it's this medley, and they pull up and there's a guy with a, like the guy from Saw, and then he's like, he's got Bud Light, and he's like, yeah, and a chainsaw, like, but talking about, you know, your, it's not really a call to action, but it's like, hey, there's nothing that matters except your Bud Light, like,
yeah,
you know, it's a bold claim, but
well, and I think Budweiser in the past had the best water cooler talk.
There you go. Yeah.
I like commercials for a while. They had a string of them with the what's up,
the frogs.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, that era where they had 5 or 6 years in a row where they just crushed it. The magic fridge was another one.
The, what was the horses, the
Clydesdales
was Budweiser. Yeah.
That was Budweiser. Well, Budweiser still. Was, the frogs, I think, was Budweiser.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they started going all Bud Light because everybody's watching carbs and all that stuff. But that stretch to where they were doing what's up, magic fridge, the frogs, and some others, like that was like Budweiser's heyday before they got bought by Germans.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Germans don't have that sense of humor anymore. No. So
do they have a sense of humor? Period.
No.
And you know that Clydesdale brand was like pretty consistent year after year.
Yeah.
If you think about it, so everybody pretty much expected. I mean, you talk about consistency. Everybody expected some version of Clydesdales every year. One of my favorite was where they had the you know, they're out there playing football. All these Clydesdales.
Yeah.
And he's like, do they do that every time? And he's like, no, they usually go for two. You know, like, yeah. You know, that was one of my favorites. I thought that was really creative, but then they got away from that. Sometimes.
So it's interesting. We've talked about all these ads, and we've even talked about Budweiser, but Budweiser had a commercial this year. And what'd you think of it? Obviously not much.
Not much. Cause I don't remember it.
Yeah. So I would not have remembered it if I had not watched and did my research and kind of watched some of them back.
Yeah.
But it was about America not being typical.
Mm-hmm.
Or typical Americans was the name of the ad.
Yep.
So like, and then they tried to spin typical, like, you know, but it just felt like a little too reachy.
Yeah.
Like it felt like it was reaching, especially because everybody that liked Budweiser knows that they were bought out by a foreign country.
A little too up.
So it kind of rings a little hollow.
Yeah.
Because you sold out to Europe.
Yeah. So
it's like, yeah, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. Now that you mention it, I do remember it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're like Jeep did that last year. They had a really like good American brand type commercial. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're still kind of, I don't know who owns them anymore.
Yeah.
Fiat, Chrysler, China, whatever it is now. But
Disney, probably.
Jeep. Jeep still feels like an American brand more than I think more than Budweiser, but sure. We're not exactly mass brewery fans on this show. So, all right, so I'll end with this.
Okay,
I think what Amazon is doing with Alexa right now is the best psychology of making people be like feel stupid if they don't have Alexa. Mm-hmm. They're making it look like Alexa is just the next step in human evolution.
Right.
And anything less is just outdated. Why would you do that? It's archaic. Like, and it's done in a humorous way, but the underlying message is that if you're using anything but Alexa to manage your shopping list, turn on the TV, dim your lights, that you're just living in the Stone Ages.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very powerful but subtle use of psychology. And like, it makes me feel bad for not having Alexa in my house. And I'm still not getting it.
That's a great, you know what? That's a great lead in. And I'll probably save this for the next episode because I was going to reference this. Yeah, it's a teaser. Right. I don't know if you have your January, February of Harvard Business Review, but we're going to talk about on the next episode why advertising makes us unhappy.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to leave it at that because I got to take a bathroom break.
I hear you. I just finished my last swig, so you know what that means. Show's over.
Show is over.
And it's time to hit the magic fridge and see what's down there.
Absolutely. So we'll post some of these on our show page for this episode, some of these commercials we've referenced. As always, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms. Subscribe, leave us 5 stars. Greatly appreciate it. John, we'll see you next time, man.
See ya.